Film Festival. It's about a Brooklyn sex worker who marries the son of a wealthy Russian oligarch. A special prize was also awarded Mohammad Rousalov for The Seed of the Sacred Fig, a film made secretly in Iran where all of his films are banned. He fled his country shortly before the festival. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the Raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This Memorial Day, Cardinal Glass wants to remember and thank those who gave everything for our freedom. Their legacy of bravery and dedication will continue to inspire us for generations to come. For those who gave their all for us, we are forever grateful. We honor your sacrifices and salute you and your families for your unwavering support to our country. This tribute made possible by Cardinal Glass, leading the industry in development of residential glass for windows and doors. Learn more at cardinalcorp.com.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Low to mid 70s for highs today, under mostly cloudy skies. For tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 55. Showers and thunderstorms on your Sunday, with a high around 65. For Sunday night, scattered storms, a low of 51, and showers and storms again for Memorial Day.
Right now, it's 70.
Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. It's Maggie Dawn here. Have a wonderful and safe Memorial Day weekend.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. Folks, today's show is a real treat. I have as a guest Evan Goyke. He is the young 41-year-old millennial who is just won the city of Milwaukee city attorney office by 63% of the vote. And I thought it would be very unique and timely to talk to Evan about the city of Milwaukee. It is, after all, the biggest city in the state of Wisconsin. And if the state is going to go forward, and you folks know I always like talking about keeping Wisconsin going forward, we have a millennial firmly in charge of the city attorney's office of the largest city in the state. And I thought it would be just timely to get into it. So, Evan, welcome. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me, Mark. Thank you for repeatedly referring to me as both young and or a millennial. I will take both of those all night long.
Well, I think you are, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's factual, but just barely, man. We are right at the cusp of both of those words being wrong, but that's okay.
From my vantage point, you know, I'm really excited and encouraged. You know, before we jump into sort of your vision of what the office is and where it's going to go, you just got elected to a 4-year term, and I've got to be thinking that, you know, this is not something that you're going to jump out of really quickly, and or it's going to take you somewhere else, but it's definitely going to be part of the leadership of the state. And as we look forward to the future, it's really, really important to get there. So how did you end up getting here? Let's go. What's your background? Where'd you grow up? Yeah. Where'd you go to school?
I was born in Neenah in the Fox Valley. First year or two of my life was in Oshkosh. And 3 weeks before I was born, back in November of 1982, since you did already out me as a 41-year-old proud millennial. So a couple weeks before I was born, my father, Gary, lost his final election in the state Senate and became a lobbyist. And he represented Oshkosh. And that's where he was from. My mom's from a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. And moved to Madison. So most of my upbringing, you know, elementary, middle, high school was in Madison. Went away to Minnesota for college, realized the error of my ways, came home to go to Marquette Law School from 2006 to 2009. And my first, you know, I hung a shingle for a little while, graduating in the middle of the recession, but then landed in the state public defender's office in Milwaukee County. I represented adults charged with all levels of criminal infractions that could not afford their own lawyer, and then a few years later ran for the state legislature and represented about 55,000 people on the north side, west side of the city of Milwaukee in Madison in the state assembly. And then you mentioned this current job, just got elected and sworn in on April 16 to be Milwaukee's city attorney. That is a law firm of about 40 lawyers and 20 support staff, you know, largest municipality in the state, so largest municipal law firm in the state, and we handle a whole wide range of legal issues for the city. And I like to think of that role much as you introed it, Mark. You know, we have some core responsibilities, but we really are part of the leadership of the city, both guiding the mayor, the city council, and the departments as they affect public policy changes and work for the residents of the city.
You know, full disclosure, folks, I'm a Marquette Law alum too, so I put a lot of weight on that diploma, and we do compete with lawyers from all over the country, but we fly the Marquette Law flag proudly. So just letting you know my bias there, folks. But let's get into what made you think about running for the office? What were the issues that moved you to run? And how did you go about putting together the campaign where you end up getting 63% of the vote against an incumbent, which is quite remarkable, frankly?
Well, thank you. So let me zoom out for a minute, and then I'll zoom back into Milwaukee. And just so that, you know, we have listeners from all over the state, love the statewide reach of civic media. every municipality has legal representation. Some are for the smaller municipalities hire counsel. Some have a mayoral appointment. Some, like Milwaukee, elect their city attorneys. So we've been doing it since 1846. That's how we wrote it in our city charter, and that's how we're still doing it today. So our city attorney is elected in April in a nonpartisan four-year term alongside with the city council, mayor, and some of the other citywide positions. My introduction to the office, like when I was in law school, so you talked, Mark, about how special a Marquette Law School education is, and part of the reason we are the best law school in the state of Wisconsin is that they push the law students out into the community, into law firms, into court, into real world experience. So I was aware of the city attorney's office as a law student. And that was like the pinnacle of public service. That was decent salary, you know, good quality of life, good, you know, wide diversity of cases that you got to work on. So I had some friends that worked there and kind of paid vague attention to it. But where it started to hit me, where I started to pay direct attention to it is a couple of the assistant city attorneys were really active in my neighborhood. I live on the near west side or near north side of the city of Milwaukee. We had a business that was creating an opportunity for criminal action. So the police were called repeatedly, became kind of a magnet for criminal activity. It was a store that only sold tobacco products and vape products. And I went as a local resident and a state representative to a bunch of meetings, and I met these lawyers trying to listen to what we were doing and effectuate change by holding this business accountable. And they had some speed bumps in state law, which is where I kind of raised my hand to say, hey, I'm a state representative, let's work on this. We did. We forged some relationships there. But that introduction, Mark, was so cool because you had people using their legal skills and training trying to creatively problem solve to address a quality of life issue for residents. And I thought, man, that is like, I want to be a part of that in some way. And so I worked with them in my legislative capacity. I always kind of kept an eye on the office. I knew the lawyers there. I knew some of their leader, the higher ranking officials there. And then an opportunity came this past year in 2024, 2023 to begin running. So how do you win 63% of the vote, 40 some thousand votes? You talk about those issues that I just addressed, which are quality of life issues for real people. The first half of running for city attorney is explaining what the city attorney does, why they should be paying attention and why it matters. So that goes kind of quality of life, public safety, real world issues. And then the second part is you build a wide and diverse coalition of supporters. That's through, you know, raising money, endorsements, getting the word out. You gotta, you know, in Milwaukee, you gotta win on the south side, the north side, the east side, the west side, right? You put the map up and you can't lose too bad anywhere. And that's what we did to win a majority. I'm proud of the, you know, almost 64% that we received.
So when you went around the city and you talked about what does the city attorney do, did you talk about what your predecessors did, or did you talk about what you wanted to do?
It was more of column B than column A. However, the recent history with our city attorneys, the two most recent, you had a narrative where that type of proactive community work was done, you know, in 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, and then it fell off the wayside and really was not done. And actually, here I am, I'm a month in, and we haven't stood back up that community-facing work. We've got some other issues to attend to that are more urgent, but for a couple of years, that really went away. And there were staffing issues or, you know, ideological decisions about why that was the case. So what I did is I did share my vision, and I used this narrative of how it had worked and what that value add proposition was when community facing city attorneys were out there. And then, you know, what happened when it went away.
So folks, I'm here with the new city attorney of Milwaukee, the largest city in the state. The decisions made in that office will impact our lives all over the state. And we're right here at the beginning of the Goyke era. And so we're talking a little bit about how we got into it. We got, you know, three segments to talk. How do you want to frame our conversation? Because I have a bunch of questions, but I, you know, this is your first shot. How would you?
Yeah, like- I mean, I figured that you would be prepared for a cross examination, Mark. You are trained and good at those, so I'll leave it to you as a host. But I think what I hope the listeners take away is, you know, we're going to talk about some Milwaukee specifics. And there are issues that are at maybe a volume or at a degree that are unique to Milwaukee and Wisconsin. But one of the things that I have loved in my first month on the job is there is a network of municipal lawyers doing this same type of work all across the state, some public, some private, you know, some mix. And so to every listener, hang in there with us as we talk about Milwaukee and Mark cross-examines me for the next little while. But remember, if you're in a small town in central Wisconsin, some of these same issues are playing out in your local government. They may be a little different, but a lot of it is the same. So, I mean, I think that's great too, right? I mean, I love shedding light on the behind the scenes, people that make local government and local communities happen.
Folks, this is Mark Thompson, attorney. This is your Paul Revere Show. I'm proud to have Evan Goyke, the new city attorney of Milwaukee. We're going to come back and talk more in detail about what is it that needs to be done in the city and the state.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This Memorial Weekend, we pause to remember the brave souls who gave everything for our freedom. Their courage and selflessness will forever be etched in our hearts and in the fabric of our nation. Their legacy of bravery and dedication will continue to inspire us for generations to come. For those who gave their all for us, we are forever grateful. Brought to you by the Squeegee Squad, your neighborhood window cleaner. Learn about their services and story at squeegeesquad.com or give them a call at 715-255-0770.
Matt Mayer on Air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Mayer on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here today with the new City Attorney of Milwaukee, Evan Goyke. Welcome, Evan.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
You bet. You know, we were talking about the issues that you face as a new city attorney, and I think you used the word the breadth of the issues. Give us a feeling. What does that mean, the breadth of the issues?
Yeah, so we handle, you know, something as small as a municipal citation for speeding. You know, relatively straightforward, you know, some money on the line, some points on your driver's license, but, you know, relatively simple. People can kind of understand that. And, you know, we go all the way up. We advise the mayor and the city council. We kind of we advise and staff boards that make decisions on issues like zoning or licensing. So you have, you know, developers or tavern owners or, you know, store owners. And then, you know, we have an entire arm that deals with incidents when the city is sued, and you know, an injured party is seeking recovery from largely something that happened with a city worker or somebody working in the city capacity. That could be a car accident involving a snowplow, or you know, cases involving our police department. And I'm, you know, there's a lot in between those layers, but you know, anything from a multi-million dollar federal lawsuit to a $125 speeding ticket. And so there's this huge breadth of issues that come up. And, you know, given Milwaukee's size, the size of and the power of our office, or I shouldn't say the power, the responsibility of our law firm, we really handle you know, this huge diversity and breadth of issues. And it makes it really exciting. I think it's an incredible place to practice law because no 2 days are the same. I mean, the issues are always coming up and novel and you know, this cutting edge of municipal law in the state.
So let's just jump in at a couple of those. You know, as an economic force, you mentioned that you have zoning licenses. And I know as you are active as a rep and you're still serving out your term in right. the assembly, jobs, future jobs, the economy is central for the success of us going forward, right?
Yeah, I mean, to zoom out and some of those macro level issues that you're talking about, Mark, I think I still serve in the legislature, as you mentioned, and I used to serve on the budget committee. And during this last budget, about a year ago, I would say every single meeting when we started debating issues, I would say, and this is true, that we experienced the slowest growth decade in the history of the state of Wisconsin. From 2010 to 2020, we had about 3.5% population growth. And that's the slowest growth decade ever. And it signals real challenges when we slow down. And it's not equal among every area of the state. You have some fast growing clusters like Madison and Dane County, the I-94 corridor, you know, east of Minneapolis-St. Paul, parts of the Fox Valley. And then you have, you know, slower growth or shrinking places like the Wisconsin River Valley, you know, parts of northern Wisconsin and parts of the city of Milwaukee. And that presents, like, if you want my view of what are some of the, you know, issues for our state to contend with in the next decade, it's how do we grow? And how do we grow internally? How do we attract new people to come here, to stay here? And part of the issues like zoning and licensed businesses and public safety, that this is a serious issue for the city. The city's got to grow. We've, you know, the mayor talks about that. The city attorney's office will be in direct, you know, directly working on this. And it's not just downtown. Downtown can't be the only solution. That's true for Madison as it is for Milwaukee. So we're really talking about solutions to add affordable housing in downtown, but also in neighborhoods throughout the city. And that is a key. That's a real key statewide issue. And if Milwaukee can grow, that does have, I mean, proportionately, as you're talking about, the biggest city in the state, we grow by 10%. That pushes the entire state up and everybody benefits.
So specifically, how do you see your four-year term immediately playing a role in moving the economy and growing the city, the state? And I'd add let me throw one other thing in there. You have to have a well-educated group of people, right? I mean, NVIDIA just had their earnings report, right? They're the makers of the chips for artificial intelligence. I mean, they're like booming. So how do we grasp that, and how does the city attorney play in that arena?
Yeah, I mean, it's I am not a policymaker directly. I don't, you know, say tomorrow I want to make affordable housing the number one issue. But I don't have to, because the mayor has already said that's a big issue. The city council is already saying that that's a big issue. So when they agree on something like that, they then turn to members of the cabinet and to different department heads, including me, to say, make it happen. And so our job and how I see my role is making sure that the city of Milwaukee is on the forefront of increasing the availability of affordable housing. So that's one. Increase supply. Make it more accessible and make more units available and affordable. The second part of the housing equation for me directly is we are the enforcement arm of quality, of habitability. So when the city of Milwaukee is inspecting rental properties and they are not up to code, and that could be, you know, issues of, you know, a porch, a roof, siding, all the way to electrical, heat, water, et cetera, that we hold those people accountable. So it's access to affordable housing, but I don't want listeners to think that if we have a bunch of ribbon cuttings for new buildings, that solves all of the problem, because there's also an issue with our existing and often aging housing stock being properly invested in, so that people that are living and renting in those units have quality, that they're getting quality for their money. And we're directly involved. We are the enforcement arm of those actions. So I see us being, you know, especially in this population growth discussion that we're having, we're intimately involved.
So I read in the paper the Milwaukee Housing Authority has issues. What role does the city attorney have with that entity?
Yeah, we are their lawyer. We are one of their lawyers, I should say. So the Housing Authority.
You see, I think that's a great point, right? You're the lawyer for all the citizens. And if you have a housing authority that's just part of the citizens and that's botching it, right? How do you play in? So well, I want you to think about
it. We can cover it.
I want you to think about that, because we're going to be back with Evan Goyke for more on what city attorneys can do to make our lives better and help Wisconsin move forward.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden delivering the commencement address to the 2024 class of cadets at West Point.
Today, 1,036 graduates of the class of 2024 will join the long gray line that has never failed us and never, ever will.
He says the new second lieutenants now become part of the most honorable and consequential fighting force in history. Donald Trump tonight will address the Libertarian National Convention, some in the party upset at the invitation. But convention president Angela McArdle says they invited President Biden as well.
A lot of libertarians are not happy with how the Biden administration has handled everything happening in Palestine. We're very upset about that. We're curious to see if President Trump is going to do anything different.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky appealing for more air defenses to protect the second largest city of Kharkiv, where four people were killed and more than three dozen hurt in an airstrike today on a crowded shopping center. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Brewers in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Fenway Park, where the Brewers are playing the Red Sox in game two of their three-game weekend series. The Brewers winning last night 7-2. And we found out an interesting story today. Last night, Jared Koenig, left-hander for the Brewers, was the starter, but only lasted until early in the second inning. It turns out that was the strategy. Now, he was replaced by Bryce Wilson, who went five innings, held the Red Sox at just a couple of runs. But Koenig, as a lefty, was able to face the start of the Red Sox lineup. lineup, which featured three out of four left-handed batters.
Yeah, I mean, first three out of four guys are left-handed, and I mean, we got three left-handers in the bullpen. I can come out and do that and at least get through those guys and then have the starter come in and face them. They only got to face them twice before they get to the third time. And really,
so lefty Jared Kenny getting the start again today. Up next, the Brewers are back home in Milwaukee on Monday to kick off a four-game series at home against their division rival, the Chicago Cubs. From Fenway Park in Boston, with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Low to mid-70s for highs today under mostly cloudy skies. For tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 55. Showers and thunderstorms on your Sunday with a high around 65. For Sunday night, scattered storms, a low of 51, and showers and storms again for Memorial Day.
Right now, 71 degrees.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. Your news just for the Amory area. I'm James Kelly with WLAK News.
This Memorial Day weekend, Royal Flush Plumbing and Heating wants to extend a heartfelt thank you to all our veterans. Your courage and sacrifice have given us the freedom and security we cherish every day. We honor you and your families for your service to our country. This tribute is brought to you by Royal Flush Plumbing and Heating in Amory. They're your trusted experts to keep your home comfortable year-round. Call 715-268-6565 for all your plumbing and heating needs.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
John Minow and Jim Schmidt.
Enjoy the holiday. On Tuesday's show, Johnny's back, and we'll feature Ariel Perez from the Green Bay Press Gazette, Malane Wells from WFRV-TV, plus we'll be talking the Green Bay Rockers. See you then.
Minow and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM Civic Media statewide. We are here with the new City of Milwaukee City Attorney, Evan Goyke. And we're getting the view of the future from the millennials, the future of our state. So, Evan, we were talking about city attorney in terms of who they represent and who they're the lawyers for. And we're talking about it in the context of the Housing Authority. And that the Milwaukee Housing Authority is one of your, in quotes, clients.
Right.
And a lot of the residents that live there are also potentially, they're clearly voters. And the city attorney represents all the voters. So how do you play that out? Okay. You know, how does the city attorney do what's best for citizens when maybe one of its actors are not living up to their expectations?
Well, it gets even more complicated because we're also the lawyers to the city council or to the an enforcement department that may want to do something against the other. So we have some elaborate screening in our office to make sure one lawyer is cordoned off and not communicating with another because they represent two sides of the same coin.
No, but that's, you know, that's a simple. No, this, that's,
yeah, yeah, yeah. To your point, Mark, let me start by saying, and I think you may agree with me, it's frequent that lawyers are called in when things are not going right. So, you know, I wish that it was more good news, but sometimes the lawyer's job is to provide the truth, even if it's a difficult truth. So our job in that capacity is to ensure our client isn't compliant with the law. And that they are not, you know, violating the law, that they are not exposing the city or themselves to liability. In the case of the Housing Authority, I'm meeting with some advocates coming up, of course, meeting with them, the Housing Authority as well. And I, you know, a lot of what governs their operation is federal law, some is state, much less local. And so, you know, I think our role is to make sure that our client is aware of what's going on, that they don't miss the forest for the trees, and that they do not only what's legal, but what's right. And there's conflict sometimes in that, right? I mean, that you know, lawyers can't be afraid to wade into difficult meetings just because they don't want to make someone happy. That's kind of the job. Sometimes we're called in to do that, as I think you have experienced in your career.
That comes with the turf. So we've talked about how the city attorney can have an impact on housing decisions and growth. I know that the city attorney is called in often in terms of the schools.
Right.
And
right.
How do you see the city attorney's role in, you know, 4 years, education, public education broadly? In other words, what opportunities do you see there, more than just representing an individual or an individual school or an individual principal in a, you know, with an individual complaint?
We do provide legal counsel to the school board and to MPS in some capacities. It is really in that, more often than not, it's in that individual employee kind of mode. I do obviously have a view of public education that's more than just informed by my role as city attorney, because as we've talked about, I'm also in the state legislature. And I think what you see coming to a head, and if I want to, I'll pinpoint one issue that this state has to address that affects every single school district, but disproportionately impacts the Milwaukee Public School, which is how much money does the state of Wisconsin give back for services provided to children receiving special education? And the way this is structured is that the federal government requires school districts to spend no less in 2024 educating students with special needs than they did in 2023. That's a good law to protect those students, to ensure school districts are not, you know, othering those students and are providing them with world-class education that they deserve. The state gives 33 cents on the dollar in reimbursement. So every school district in the state is moving money from their general aid to cover that gap. Why it disproportionately impacts the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee Public Schools is the percent of students within MPS that have that individual education plan that qualify, you know, for this. It is nearly one in every four. So the size of that gap is bigger than anywhere else in the state. And that has been a failure of the legislature to properly act. And you're seeing record referendum. We had one on the ballot back in April for Milwaukee. You're going to see a record number in November. And one of the structural problems that impacts everyone statewide is this special education reimbursement, but Milwaukee disproportionately so, because we have become a district with, you know, this really high percentage. Does that make sense, Mark? I mean, that's my number one thing. If you ask me once, that's me as a legislator, not a city attorney.
Yeah, but let me just follow up on that. You said you work with a network of municipal lawyers. Are there discussions going on throughout the state about whether or not municipalities could actually sue the state and raise constitutional challenges.
Yeah, that's the next extension of this. I
that's where we're going.
I have not. Yeah, and there have been in the past. There is a history. Our state constitution, Constitution of the State of Wisconsin, requires the legislature. It doesn't empower them. It mandates that the state fund education. I don't have the magic words in front of me, but there's a, you know, it's as equal or, you know, to, you know, what that there's some magic constitutional language that's been with us since our founding that has been challenged before. And I think that we're reaching that breaking point. And I think the breaking point is on the special education issue that that I talked about. The last major, you know, kind of statewide funding formula challenges really involved the adoption and proliferation of the parental choice program or voucher schools and how that second other system impacted the public school systems. Those challenges were not successful, narrowly not successful, but not successful. And so it's been, 20 some years since the Vincent V. Voigt case, which is really kind of this landmark case about education funding in Wisconsin and the voucher system. And, you know, I need my client to go tell me to do it. But, you know, I am excited for the prospect of being a part of that challenge because there are deep, deep inequities in our in what school districts are funded. And a lot of that root is what we were talking about earlier with special education.
So the and I do appreciate the relationship in terms of that the city attorney isn't the primary policymaker, but the city attorney in Milwaukee has a much, much bigger impact than many city attorneys or municipal lawyers around the state just by its charter and
right.
And the complexity of the issues. But we have a new Supreme Court majority. And so the reason I throw it out there, because it, you know, my wife was a public school teacher, vice principal, principal, MPS, her whole working life. My kids, you know, graduated from Rufus King. I have seen how the public education system has been attacked and money diverted. And it really is, it's become profoundly unfair for public schools and kids in Milwaukee. I mean, if you compare it to Arrowhead, there are huge, very successful public schools outside the city where the funding, you can just see the disparities. So I guess I throw it out there as a host.
Yeah,
I'd love to have you back where you can outline.
We could do a deep dive on that. I would say I wouldn't envision a statewide challenge going forward without our help, but I also don't envision a statewide challenge going forward alone.
Of course,
because this is it really is the coalition of potential plaintiffs in that lawsuit that would be compiled would be really compelling to any court. That gives a damn about probably the majority of public school children. And we're talking about hundreds of thousands of kids that are impacted by this.
So let me just throw out another issue that I think has statewide impact, but as well as Milwaukee. And we have these PFAS that are messing with the water quality statewide and also in Milwaukee.
Right.
You're now in the driver's seat, looking at some of those legal challenges. You left the legislature where we've got money sitting there that just joint finance hasn't released to the communities. What can the city attorney in Milwaukee do in that arena, if anything?
It's a great question, Mark. I don't know at the point that we're having this conversation, I don't think we're locked and loaded with a challenge that I can identify off the top of my head. And one of the, you know, part of what we're talking about and what you're getting at is that the law can be an avenue when the political structures fail, right? Which is what we're talking about is the failure of the legislature to act in the best interest of the people. And what happens, what recourse do we have when that's the case, and the courts are a recourse. So I don't have anything locked and loaded. I know other municipalities like La Crosse and Wausau have been further down that pipeline. I shouldn't say pipeline, maybe, but they've been further down the investigation of that litigation. And certainly we have, and you know, I'm open to it. I think it's a right that you be able to turn on that tap and have safe drinking water. We've been consumed with the issue of lead, which is a different, you know, but also critically important issue. So yeah, I mean, boy, I hope in November we solve the political problem and we don't have to stand up in the Supreme Court because we have a legislature that's willing to actually do the right thing. But you know, something we're certainly open to.
So on that, in quotes, political problem, we'll come back to that because I do want to wind up the show on sort of.
Yeah, let's look forward to November. Yeah,
where we're absolutely going short term, but I think it's important for people to get a feel of, you know, using your words, the breadth of the issues the city attorney faces and the opportunities created. One issue that is going to be right on your plate relates to the Republicans, their attack on DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, in the last budget rounds. How do you see that playing out in Milwaukee, and where on your list of to-dos is that?
Yeah, I would say even further than just, you know, the UW system and kind of some saber rattling about that in state government, the city of Milwaukee was directly impacted through a law passed about a year ago that what we call Act 12, often called the Shared Revenue Bill, which did change how the states fund local government and gave the city of Milwaukee the power for a local option sales tax to address some of our long-term liabilities. And in that bill, it specifically says now in state law that we cannot use our own funds for those positions, for DEI positions. And you can imagine as the only, if maybe one of a handful, if not the only majority-minority city, with the most diverse city council in history, are exploring, and we are actively exploring that. I would say on this show, it's too early for me to tell exactly when you're going to hear from us, but I bet you that you do in the near future.
Thank you, Evan Goyke. Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We'll be back with our new city attorney in Milwaukee, Evan Goyke.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. I am honored and privileged to have Milwaukee's new city attorney, Evan Goyke, with us. And we're really talking about how the city attorney can be play a role in growing the economy, creating opportunities for everybody. We're just touch base in terms of the last round of attacks on diversity, equity, and inclusion statewide and in Milwaukee. But I want to get to, we got major elections in November that statewide and nationally. You're in the assembly, you're going to be giving up your seat.
Right.
In the assembly. But let's just start there. How do you see this, the redistricting, the new maps, and how is that going to play out in terms of changes in Madison that are going to help Milwaukee?
Yeah, it's a great question. Let me zoom back out a little bit, because I've served through Walker and Evers, and you really started to see a big change in 18, you know, 19 after Evers wins his first election. And to be honest, in 19 and 20, the Republicans were really united, we're going to really stick it to Evers. And you've seen that kind of wane, like I'm pulling back the curtain, like what it's like to be in the halls of the state capitol as a legislative Democrat has changed each year that Evers has been there. And what the last couple of months have been is this very sad, but totally enjoyable resign of the Republicans that a new day is coming. So what is going to happen? So, you know, fundamentally alters the makeup of the state legislature, because we no longer have some of the most partisan gerrymandered districts in the state of Wisconsin. It isn't just the we replace R's with D's. It's also about how districts are drawn. So your question about Milwaukee, how does Milwaukee and its treatment differ from new maps? Well, there was, under the partisan gerrymander, an effort to pack as many Democratic districts as tightly as possible in the city of Milwaukee. That diminished the number of seats that the city had a direct touch to, that reduced the number of representatives that talked to the mayor, the city council, the public school district, public transit, et cetera. And what we've seen is now the metro Milwaukee into the suburban communities of Milwaukee County and into the edges of Ozaukee, Washington, Washington County specifically, a little less about Racine, but close, is this kind of spread and districts that touch a little bit of more communities. And what it does, Mark, fundamentally changes how those representatives look at the communities they represent. Yes, that means likely more Democrats in metro Milwaukee, which hopefully means more listening to the Democratic-leaning local elected officials in Milwaukee like me. But it also just pulls back this like iron red curtain that existed for a long time at the city border, that separation, that otherness that has existed between Milwaukee and its suburbs. And a unification of communities like Shorewood, Whitefish Bay, Brown Deer, Wauwatosa, Oak Creek, West Dallas. Well, now all of a sudden we're talking about 800,000 people working on an issue instead of 600,000. And that might seem like a trivial difference to some, but I can tell you, as somebody that's been in the halls for 12 years, it's a big damn difference when you have these other jurisdictions kind of sharing and rowing the boat in the same direction, not attacking Milwaukee, because those local leaders are talking to their reps and understanding how our fates are shared.
So are you optimistic that with these new maps, we're going to have actual changes in Madison?
Cautiously optimistic, yes. I will say a narrow majority. So let's say right now the Republicans are up 12 or 13 in the assembly, something like that. A number high enough that it's really hard to get to work across the aisle. Let's say that number goes down to 3 or 4 or 2. You have a lot more working across the aisle, right? There's a much easier chance to get to 50. There's a lot more pressure on the majority party to work across the aisle. So that's a cultural change for the better. even if the current majority stays in the majority. Now, I have some concern because sometimes that tight number results in discipline from that majority, right? Okay, we can't lose two people, so we're all on the same team. But I think on the day-to-day operation and culture of the legislature, it is fundamentally improved for the better in November. And then the last thing I'll say on that is also up is the leadership, the current leadership of those Republican caucuses. And Mr. Voss, the long-term speaker for the Assembly of Republicans, runs his caucus with a very tight authoritarian grip and really prevents a lot of bipartisanship. So let's say the new cast of characters results in him going away through, you know, losing an election to speaker, an indictment, a recall, whatever, I don't care. Then like the entire culture of the legislature shifts and it really is a new day. So it's kind of incremental in a bit, but you know, I'm optimistic.
So we got a couple of minutes here left. What can the city attorney do, or what role do you see your office in terms of voter registration, voter participation, voter activity in Milwaukee? Is there a role for,
you know, we have historically not participated on the front end like that in terms of, you know, engaging in efforts to draw turnout. We are and provide legal counsel to our local elections commission, and we are assembling, we have a team, we're increasing the size of that team to prepare for November. And really our focus is to make sure that everything goes correctly again, and that we are prepared for the repeat of 2020, where, you know, outside interests want to dispel, you know, cause chaos and file frivolous lawsuits. You saw a PolitiFact in today's online journal Sentinel about a false claim about printing ballots. We will be ready to fight tooth and nail all of those false claims that may come and make sure that November is run smoothly again.
Here, I just throw this out. You know, I'm on the elections commission statewide. A lot of local folks have been attacked. In 10 seconds, what are you doing to protect our, the folks that run elections?
Yeah, we will have their back to make sure we're ready to go to court should they ever get, you know, those attacks move forward.
Folks, the new city attorney of Milwaukee, Evan Goyke, you heard him. He's got your back.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special Memorial Day show as we have on Jeremy Lyon from the Department of Veterans Affairs and looking back at Gold Star families.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
This Memorial Day, Cardinal Glass wants to remember and thank those who gave everything for our freedom. Their legacy of bravery and dedication will continue to inspire us for generations to come. For those who gave their all for us, we are forever grateful. We honor your sacrifices and salute you and your families for your unwavering support to our country. This tribute made possible by Cardinal Glass, leading the industry in development of residential glass for windows and doors. Learn more at cardinalcorp.com.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden telling graduates of the U.S. Military Academy at West Point that their class is being called on to tackle threats across the globe. And he says they also must preserve the country's ideals at home at the same time.
On your very first day at West Point, you raised your right hands and took an oath, not to a political party, not to a president, but to the Constitution of the United States of America, against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
The Department of Justice says one of the Sinaloa drug cartel's top assassins, nicknamed El Nini, has been extradited to the United States. He was also a top smuggler of fentanyl into the U.S. Two-time PGA Tour winner Grayson Murray died this morning at the age of 30, a day after withdrawing from the Charles Schwab Cup Challenge. There's no immediate details on the circumstances surrounding his death. American director Sean Baker's film Anora winning the top prize at the Cannes Film Festival. This is ABC News. Two Americans and a Haitian missionary shot and killed by a gang in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. 23-year-old Danny Lloyd and his 21-year-old wife Natalie both dead. Here's ABC's Christiane Cordero.
President Joe Biden standing alongside Kenyan President William Ruto just hours before the latest ambush, saying the U.S. will lend support to a Kenyan-led security mission in Haiti.
We can build with this way with a multinational approach.
Arcelina Wang sat down with Kenya's president and asked him about the 1,000 police officers